So Katie just made me restart because she didn't like what I said the first time around. I said I needed a haircut. Looking at my picture like that, I look like some kind of like, well, somebody you'd like, I don't know, give change to or something like that. It looks absolutely terrible.
That's the trouble though, when you see yourself, because it makes you so self-conscious, whereas when we're on the podcast studio, yeah, we can't see the rolling footage.
No, that's right. So when I'm sat in the podcast studio, I'm like, oh, I feel amazing. I look great. This is brilliant.
Got it going on.
So hence, I've just upped my game and put the sunnies on. So there we go. Anyway, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. And we're enjoying this beautiful view.
God, it's something, isn't it?
Yeah, we're overlooking the sea. We're down here in a tiny little village called Kimmeridge. It's renowned across the globe because they just found a massive Plesiosaurus here,
yeah,
which is the, it was a really, really dangerous creature a few years ago.
Yeah. And isn't it like a particularly special kind of Plesiosaurus? I mean, not one that's like, I'm not talking like Rain Man, like really good at maths. It's like, isn't it like new to science or something?
Yeah, kind of. So they've dug up the skull, which is already, I think, 2 or 3 meters long. It's enormous. Really? And they're going to unearth the rest. But yeah, that's Kimmeridge. Look it up. It's really worth a trip. And that's where we are. So we're overlooking Kimmeridge Bay at the moment. It's glorious. The sun's out.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful flowers in purple and yellow, contrasted by this blue sea and blue sky. It's just gorgeous. I love it.
Do you bring up the Plesiosaurus just from it? Isn't it like a bit like indignant? Because I'm like, the poor chap, he's had his head dug out this face of a cliff, right? And now they've got to go and dig his ass out as well. It's a bit like, you know, if I was a Plesiosaurus spirit, right, 65 million years later, just floating around going, oh, this is great. Can you imagine like floating back to the point in time where your actual mortal body like perished, and you'd be stood over it looking and go, I've got to dig my ass out of there now as well. I think it's like, I don't want to think about this personally, but it's in there right now. It's living rent free. So Mr. Plesiosaurus, if you listen to this, we're really sorry. We're just kind of curious.
Sorry.
But it's like, you know, poor chap. Anyway, so yeah. I digress. Yeah, so it's gorgeous. So yeah, Kimmeridge Bay is like the place where 65 million years ago, a whole bunch of dinosaurs met their maker because the meteor hit Earth.
Yeah, I'm going to say, because that's what we learned in Mexico.
Yeah, the half-baked knowledge of a financial translator at all things dinosaur.
Yeah, we're not here for dinosaur chit-chat.
No,
although it's really interesting. But it puts into perspective, doesn't it, the speck of humanity we are. It's really insignificant, because we only arrived like a few seconds ago when you take like all of time since the Big Bang as like a clock. We haven't even arrived a few seconds ago.
That's right.
Which is quite impressive. And even on a stressful day, all you have to think back to is the Plesiosaurus who's getting his ass dug up now.
That's right. Whenever I look at a massive bill through the post, I'm like, ah, I turned up 2 seconds ago. These aren't real things.
This too shall pass.
No, I do pay my bills, just for the record. I want the record to reflect. So we're here and we're going to be talking some stuff. Katie said to me as we were driving down into Kimmeridge Bay, she said, I just want to have a chat. I was like, well, we've got to have some kind of structure.
What do you mean?
It.
We need structure.
Chat.
No, but I like those kind of podcasts where you see where the mood takes us. And, you know, it's a chatty kind of, well, this is our date.
It's our singular date.
Our excuse to sit in the car now,
yeah,
overlooking the bay, maybe go for a little wander when we're done here.
Ooh, nice.
Not that I wish this time away, but yeah, we never do this because, well, we're business owners, innit?
Yeah, after the bill is before the bill. There's always something to be done, always something to be paid.
Exactly. So this isn't a date.
This is lovely.
Tell me, how are you, Daniel?
In my little heart.
Yeah, and you're with your sticky feelings.
Honestly, sick with excitement, right? I've gone from being like just wanting to sit in a dark corner of a dark room, okay, rocking backwards and forwards, not knowing what the hell I'm doing, to this is the best day ever. And it's because of many, many things that have all suddenly just lit up, yep, like a Christmas tree. It's brilliant. Obviously, Lingo Tribe is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. The best.
I mean, and everybody who's in the tribe knows that because you guys make it what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's now starting to attract real attention from people who aren't in the tribe. And mm-hmm. to be able to go to people and say, who come to me and Katie and say, we want to join. I'm like, you know, what's it about? And to be able to talk about the things that you guys do and the things we all do together, it honestly makes me so happy, because, and I can't take any credit for it, you made it what it is.
Yeah,
so
really,
that is it's so exciting. And honestly, I wake up every morning and I look forward, the first thing to go, I can, there's the chat thing going just there, I look forward every morning to go and see what messages there are. Mm-hmm. People have booked me in because they want to ask me a question. I mean, that itself is brilliant, you know.
Yeah,
being able to answer questions on the fly. The dream for me would be from 9 till 2:33 in the afternoon, just answer questions all day long. I love it. And so that's great. Translation's brilliant. Mm-hmm. Like, loads of really great, interesting work, which I love doing. But I love talking to everybody in the tribe, and I love answering questions. It's just, I think I've found my zen, to be honest.
It makes me so happy to see you thrive in this environment as well, because for the longest time, you're just a mere anonymous email address in somebody's inbox, or, you know, you always phone people, so you've always had that connection. True. At least you've got a voice connected to somebody, associated with somebody. But, you know, invariably, we would never meet the project managers we were working for years and years and years. So it is quite lonely.
It is quite lonely. And we
very
counter,
anonymous.
Yeah. And we counter that, because I was always the chocolate guy, because at every Christmas, I would go in person to most of the project managers I worked with around Germany and just drop them off a little box of chocolates and say, thanks ever so much for the work. And so that worked. But that was essentially the singular, like, physical touch point, wasn't it?
Yeah, but there's no water cooler chat. There's no bands. There is, you know, the day-to-day you just don't have.
No, that's true.
And
that's
so true. We're creating that now by co-working from, you know, with people from all over the world.
It's brilliant. The Daily Jam this morning, was from Indonesia, Italy, France, Germany, UK. Absolutely brilliant. Buzzing.
I love it.
Yeah.
Like, I love getting to know people, because one of my main values is connection, as you may know. I love that moment when you feel like you can just be normal with people. You know, we all put on a bit of a front, like a bit of a Sunday face, especially when you're new in an environment and you want to show your best self and whatever. That's just natural. But when you feel like the facade finally crumbles and you can just get to know the real them behind the scenes.
Well, I'd like to think that came out this morning in particular on the Daily Jam, was because some of the people in there were talking about things that were quite personal and asking not necessarily for advice, but just looking to try and gauge how other people have dealt with a similar problem, or if indeed they've had a similar challenge. And I was so touched, like, at the end of the call, to see how members of the tribe engaged with that particular person and answered the questions. And
so warm and caring.
It was reassuring. Yeah, it was brilliant. So enough about that. So it's just fantastic. Yeah, but how are you doing anyway?
How am I doing?
Yeah.
I've never been better.
Fantastic.
I've never been better. Like, reflecting on what I just said. No, it's true. My portfolio consists of people I absolutely love working with. And hand on heart, that's taken me the longest time. Yeah. But I feel like the more me my content has become, the better, by a country mile, not even in the same universe, the quality of people that now knock on my door and ask me for retainer or consultancy work and so on.
Smalling in particular, brilliant. You won a great client this morning.
Yeah.
Amazing person. And
I said to them as well, like, I can't wait to work with you, because I know there's rapport. We've known each other for about a year now. They're fantastic. They fit right into what I do and what I love doing and my fortes, like, where I can really bring something to the table. And I've got another really exciting project in the pipeline with a startup founder who is phenomenal. Yeah. But it's only started when our content became a true reflection of us.
Yeah, that's true.
Individually and as a company. So our company page and our two personal pages. When we really changed the narrative, and when we just said, you know, fuck it all. Like, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. We're just going to write what we think is best obviously paying into your values and your topics and everything else, it has to be consistent, all rooted in emotion, but it has to come from the heart, and it has to be real, and it has to be a piece of me. Since doing that,
It's been a game changer. It's mushroomed. It's been brilliant.
Yeah, I love it.
Case in point, so we went to dinner a few weeks ago, and we met this lovely couple, and we took our girls along as well. And the first thing she said to me was, "I love your about me." And I was like, "You read my about me?" I never think anybody reads my about me. Like, I always assume people are just, they're like a million more interesting people than me out there to watch. So I just assume people are just going to go, "Who's that ginger guy at the scrunch?" She was like, "No, I love your about me." And we really clicked over that. And yeah, it ties in with what you're saying, is that I wrote that about me, as I speak, as my mind thinks, and everybody in the tribe who knows me knows that I love to swear and I have a terrible potty mouth, and my children, I mean, I'm almost embarrassed. I hope social services never find out, because honestly, the word concoctions that my children hear me come out with sometimes, they're very grown up, should we put it this way, for 9 and 11. So,
they had to grow up pretty quick.
Right. And so, yeah, that ties in with the fact that having been brave enough to go, no, this is me, and this is how I write, and this is how I think, and then writing in a way that showcases that, it's created such rapport already, and I love it. And that's what everybody else is doing with whom we work. So,
yeah. I love what you said the other morning in one of our phenomenal board meetings, which we have in bed every morning, coffee in bed, and there's our board meeting. We talk about the day and what's ahead of us, and we strategize, and sometimes talk about our dreams and, you know, whatever comes to mind. But I love our board meetings, such a cornerstone of my happiness. But you said the other day, the analysis of this podcast, right? So looking back at how we started in a really, really formal, polished, super profesh kind of setup, and we were so nervous walking in, because you've got this beautiful studio, you've got your booked slot, and time is of the essence, and nothing can go wrong, so you're super tense already, and you're constantly clock watching, and you know you've got like a few seconds left to squeeze in this important topic, and we cut each other off all the time because we're there to record like 3, 4, 5 episodes at a time. To today, where we've parked up somewhere in our Toyota, overlooking something beautiful. So it's we're miles apart from that, but the resonance, the response has been fantastic.
It really has. And again, it's all by chance, because I mean, this whole like having fun in a car, for one of a bit of
fun,
growing up fun in a car. Okay, where it is, right? That was all born out of like us being on holiday and having a house full of, not screaming kids, but quite a loud background with a baby and a 5-year-old. Not ours, I hasten to add. My sister-in-law's beautiful boys, but it was quite intense inside the house. Plus, one of the kids had the shits, so it was like you just had to get out. Then we needed a soundproof place, and we sat in my car and
in front of the holiday,
In front of the holiday, and recorded the first episode. And honestly, you guys seem to love it. So we thought, well, hang on a sec, let's not make it all polished and all like smooth around the edges.
That's what you said. Don't try too hard.
That's what I said. I did. That came up with something good. Yeah, don't try too hard.
Don't try too hard, because and you said just now, no, sorry, this is just me. This is us, okay? I'm always barefoot. You can't see it now because I'm not.
Try to angle then. She's not 25 anymore. Joking now.
I'm always barefoot. For everyone who knows me, I'm always, always, always barefoot. This is so me. This is us in our habitat. We're just, as the crow flies, probably 2 miles down that way. So we live here. We breathe this air. We love this view. This is where I go walking every day. If you follow my Instagram, this is what you'll see on there. So this is just us. It couldn't be any more unpolished, right?
That's it. I think the reason I said that was because we were looking at some kind of online presence for some professionals that we know, and it just looked so stilted. It was so over polished, and it was so stiff. And I thought to myself, I wouldn't want to engage. I know them personally, but like, if I didn't know them, I wouldn't want to engage with them, because it looks fake. And so, yeah, this is why being sat here with you guys, we thought, do you know what we need to do is actually take you guys on each podcast to all our favorite haunts here in Dorset. Like, I want to take you guys to...
Everywhere.
I want to take you guys to pubs around here that are really beautiful. I want to take you to...
We've got a
long list of stuff we can do, because there are so many amazing places that are really pretty and just fun to be around here. And show you Dorset a bit more up close. And, if you guys have any questions or any requests, we'll happily take you there too.
Can we turn this around?
Is that really possible? Can turn it around?
Possibly. So this is our view at the moment. Yeah,
this is Kimmeridge Bay. And the water is super shallow for about a mile. So you can, you know, so we come down here with the girls all the time in summer and you can play and it's perfectly safe. And
find fossils as well everywhere, which is so cool.
So there's a car alarm in the background. Fantastic. Just to make it a bit more authentic.
So case in point, we found it really boring when we looked at the company. And this brings me to something that's really close to my heart, and that's based on observation and proof. Because so many people say on LinkedIn, oh, don't bother about company pages. They're so boring. They're so dull. Nobody cares. Nobody loves them. It's a waste of time. You don't need one. If you have one, just recycle your stuff you've got anyway. And I say, bullshit.
Yeah.
There's so much potential there.
Yeah.
There is so, so much potential in a company page. And case in point, if you haven't already, follow House of Words on LinkedIn, and I'll tell you why, because you'll see our thinking.
Yeah.
So you'll see that we experiment quite a lot. At the moment, I'm doing some memes because I love memes and we love movies. So we're playing around with that, and they perform so well, and it's original content we're putting up there. Against what everybody else is saying, like all the self-proclaimed gurus out there, when they say, oh, you just need to recycle your stuff on there. No. There's a massive potential for original stuff.
Yeah.
So if you've got a personal page on there anyway, which I'm assuming you do, because we do a lot of LinkedIn-based episodes, and you have a company page, please think about some cool formats you can do on there that are extremely original, that are not recycled. Because let's be honest, I mean, if you've got siblings and if you think back to your childhood, how much did you love hand-me-downs? I don't think anybody did.
No.
And
I know my sisters didn't.
Exactly. How much do you love a cover band? Nobody cares.
No.
Because they're shite.
Yeah.
Most of them, right?
You have a language, don't you? Shite. That cuts like a sword when you say that word. It's almost bad as the C word, which I'm not going to say here, even though I do say it sometimes. Go on, carry on. You're right, you make a valid point.
It's got to be said because...
Shite.
I learned the best language from you.
Yeah, that's true. No, you're right. It's people don't want the cover and the cover band.
It's
a bit exotic. They don't want the cover. They don't want the duplicate or the fake. They want the real thing. And so
give them something original, funny, experimental. Don't be shy when it comes to reinventing yourself or creating something that's a bit out there. See what sticks. You know, when I walked into this, I never thought that memes would take off, and they did. The other day, I posted something about our Bantasaurus Flex.
Love the Bantasaurus Flex.
And I know, me too.
And can I just say a big shout out to Matt Popperwell from where is Matt from? Are you from Yorkshire?
He's from Bradford.
Bradford. Sorry.
No, it's Yorkshire.
It is Yorkshire, isn't it?
Why am I pointing like that?
I don't know. I've never looked on a map further north of Shaftesbury. It just goes to Shaftesbury Seriously, right? Okay, if you, Katie's birthday is on the 25th of June. No, let me finish.
It's close, isn't it?
To Matt and to Mike, of course, as well. Mike's a Yorkshireman, and to any other Yorkshireman listening, right? You want to make Katie happy on her birthday, 25th of June. Just, I don't know, take like a shampoo bottle and just read the contents off the back, but in your heaviest accent, because Katie loves the Yorkshire accent. right?
I do.
And I can't do accents for toffee, because I'm just saying, I'm not saying, tap up my wife, okay? with a bit of like audio recording porn, okay? And she will absolutely love it, okay? And you could read her anything. You could read her, I don't know, like a penalty charge for the time you parked in the wrong fucking parking space at Sainsbury's, okay? You could read her that in a Yorkshire accent. She's going to love it, okay? Just saying, 25th of June. There you go. You're most welcome.
That was a tangent and a half, wasn't it?
No, but I'm just saying. But
so my congratulations to Matt.
Because Matt, thanks to your banter flow, Matt, because the Bantasaurus Flex, it turns out that Matt is a fucking genius when it comes to bants.
He is hilarious.
And one-liners. He's hilarious.
Yeah, his one-liners and puns, they're fantastic.
So keep them coming, okay? Yeah. So, so the Bantasaurus Flex had an incredible impact. And again, because you did it. You got to take full credit for it. You did it. And then all of a sudden, our company page, it was on fire.
Yeah,
so.
People link in with our company page now, and then we go and link in with them. Yeah. So they come to our company page first, then we check them out, and if they're the right fit, which invariably they are, because they must have a cracking sense of humor if they like what we do, we link in with them. So, but they come through us to our, first to our company page.
Yeah.
But it's something I'm, again, very passionate about. Humor. So I don't know if you know, but I put it out on LinkedIn. I want to train as a stand-up comedian because I think I'm fucking hilarious. I'm funny in German, but sometimes I feel like it gets lost in translation. And because my 20s were rubbish, because we lost and lost and lost and lost so many people and went through so much shit.
Yeah.
I feel like I had to grow up exponentially. And now I can go incredibly deep and dark, but not exactly life of the soul kind of material.
Yeah.
Or I can reconnect with my sort of 10-year-old self. And I was always the goofy kind of funny one. And take it from there. So, yeah, I want to push myself and train and be a good comedian, or at least have the skills to be one. Whether you'll see me on Netflix anytime soon, I doubt it, but I want to have the skill set because humor in my work is so important.
Absolutely.
Case in point, the Bamsasaurus and the memes and everything I'm learning at the moment. I'm doing the masterclass with Billy Connolly. I love a Scottish accent.
You should share the link to the course, because it's he's comedy genius.
Yeah. He said as well, like, it's all based on observation. Everything is observational. So, like, a grave digger can be funny. Like, a dock worker can be funny. You as a translator can be so funny. It's just observation and finding the pockets of fun and joy and lightheartedness in every mundane moment. And it's got to be something that many people can connect with.
Yes.
Like, a case in point, the Bantasaurus Flex. And when I showed The Life of a Linguist, that got over 220 something likes and got reshared 17 times, I checked this morning. So it went viral for my kind of humble circumstances, because many people can connect with it. So base your writing and everything you do, base your content on observational humor, and it will take off.
Beautifully put. I'm not going to add to that.
So what have you brought today?
I was going to say, I'm conscious of the fact we might be boring these people to tears because they've got lives to be getting on. We've been doing this for 23 minutes.
A stop button. They can shut us up.
I'll save what I was going to do for next week. I think we should cap it there because we've done so... Relax. What I'm saying is, like, we've done so well, okay?
You shit the bed.
I don't want to...
It's fine.
That's exactly it. So again, one of my other like all-time favorite phrases is to shit the bed. Not that this is a problem that afflicts me, not yet at least, maybe in 40 years. give it, that's the spirit, give it time. Okay, so I don't want to shit the bed. This has been a great podcast recording. And yeah, it has. And it's only been our second take because you wouldn't let me carry on with the first one because I sounded like someone was having a seizure. So anyway, don't stroke me in that way. You condescend me. KJ has the most condescending way of stroking me imaginable. Don't touch me. I don't know who you are.
From the fine print.
Yeah, that's right.
Speak to HR. Wait, there's no department at House of Words.
That's right.
Come and work for us. We're fun.
The abuse is terrible, honestly. Anyway, So I'm going to say before one of us cocks up royally, let's cap it there. And next week, I'll tell you what, I'll show you.
Hang on. Show them.
You guys got a nice view up my nose just there. Sorry about that. Next week, we're going to do an episode dedicated to the copy of this bad boy here. If you don't know what it is, okay, it's either something that tastes like, it's like sent from like God's hand himself, okay, or it tastes like us, okay? And the copy that goes with it is phenomenal, and it's a great case study to look at. So we're going to look at that next week. Anyway, enough of that. So
enough of the fun.
Let's get back to work.
Let's go for a walk.
Yeah,
and fuck have it. Some Let's ice cream.
Oh no, we've got like parental responsibilities to deal with, haven't we?
Meh.
That'd be fine. Spend a couple of hours at the lonely bus stop. It'll be absolutely fine. Right. See you guys next week.
Right.
Moi.
Lots of love. Bye.